Welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world, and we do this in several different ways. On Sundays, we meet together for three gatherings at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard in the heart of the Hollywood District of Portland. Our gatherings start at 9:15 and 11 a.m., and at 6:15 p.m. with childcare available for all ages at every gathering. We also meet in life groups all over the city of Portland, and God calls us to love our city. If you'd like more information about who we are, how to be involved, how to find a life group, or you have some other question, please visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org, or better yet, come hang out with us at one of our Sunday gatherings. We look forward to worshiping Jesus with you. And until then, here's this week's talk.
We're in this series, and it's called Misfits. And a misfit is a person who doesn't quite fit in, an outsider, somebody who's marginalized. We've been going through these different characters that we find in Scripture, these people that are out on the margins, and we've been seeing stories about God's goodness and how he is gracious and loving to people who don't fit in. How he uses people who don't fit in, unlikely people. And this morning we're going to continue in that series. We're going to be looking at a guy named Zacchaeus today. Zacchaeus' story really illustrates something really that's not about Zacchaeus. It illustrates and it shows us and it defines for us really what Jesus' mission is. What his heart is. His interactions with Zacchaeus indicate and define and describe why it is that Jesus came to earth and what he's doing now in our world. I first heard about mission statements when I was a youth pastor back in the mid-1990s. I was wondering why ministry was so hard, and then I was told that I didn't have a mission statement for my ministry. And I was like, well, duh, that's why it's so hard. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what my purpose is. And so I prayed and I wrote this mission statement. And you know, I started to look around and I realized, like, everybody has a mission statement. You know, Fortune 500 companies have mission statements. Small businesses have mission statements. Schools have mission statements. Individuals have mission statements. Many of you have a mission statement. Jesus has a mission statement. He has a statement of purpose that's described in this interaction with Zacchaeus. Now, this story that we're going to look at, Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus, it actually takes place in Jericho. Jericho was a stopping point on the way to Jerusalem, and it was when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be convicted and executed at the hands of the Romans and the Jews. And so he's on his way to what he knows is his last stop. But on the way, he visits Jericho. Now, Jericho was a happening place. It had a ton of money. It was a major center for trade. They had natural resources in Jericho. And if you were in Jericho, there was money to be made there. And Zacchaeus lived there, and he had figured out how to make money. He was the top tax collector in Jericho. He was the number one guy in his profession. He was the top of the food chain. And Luke describes Zacchaeus as being rich. He's loaded. He's got piles of cash. And that certainly had its benefits for Zacchaeus. But for Luke, the guy who wrote the story, that he recorded the story in the book of Luke, it's actually a liability. Luke has not been painting people with money in a very favorable light throughout his gospel. Luke has been painting wealthy people out to actually be unfortunate in many ways. Luke chapter 18, 24 and 25, the chapter immediately preceding the one we're going to be looking at today. Listen to what Jesus says about the wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. He goes on to say that unless God makes it possible for a wealthy person to trust God, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. He compares it to stuffing a camel through the eye of a needle. That's how difficult it is for a wealthy person to relinquish their wealth and to grab hold of Jesus. To submit to God, to give their hearts to something other than their money. Unless God does a miracle. Unless something happens, unless God himself makes it possible. So when Luke reveals that Zacchaeus was wealthy, he's wanting us to make a connection. He's wanting his readers, that includes us, to understand something. Unless God intervenes, it's going to be nearly impossible for this guy Zacchaeus to trust God as his king because Zacchaeus is filthy rich. So being a tax collector came with this fat paycheck, but it also came with a bad reputation. Tax collectors were Jewish people who collected taxes for the Roman Empire. And they were notorious for overtaxing people. They were notorious for keeping the extra money that they collected for themselves. Tax collectors were seen as thieves. They were untrustworthy scammers. If you've ever been overcharged for something, we've all probably experienced that, many of us. You've been overcharged. Maybe somebody ripped you off, an insurance company, a contractor. There's all sorts of ways that we can get ripped off. And now every time you deal with that company, or you deal with that type of company or that type of business, you're skeptical. Like your blood boils a little bit when you think about it. That's what it was like. That's how people saw tax collectors. They were skeptical. And because Zacchaeus was a tax collector, it was assumed that he was a thief. It was assumed that he was no good. His job made him a misfit. So whether or not he was actually a crook or the degree to which he was a crook, the scripture, the teaching doesn't actually tell us. But it doesn't really matter because Zacchaeus was one of these people who's been labeled, written off, and put in a box and pushed out to the margin of society. So Zacchaeus has a couple strikes against him. We haven't even opened up the scripture yet. We haven't even looked at the story. But he's already got a couple strikes against him. First of all, he's rich. Strike one. Second of all, he's labeled. He's written off. Strike two. And strike three is, he can't see Jesus when he comes to town. And the reason he can't see Jesus is because he's short. Now, if you're not tall, that's not like a liability or something, but Zacchaeus has heard that Jesus is coming to town, and he really wants to see Jesus. He's curious about Jesus, like many people were, and he wants to see him. The problem is that there's so many people that also want to see him. They're crowding around Jesus as he enters into Jericho. Zacchaeus, he's just too short to see over the crowd. But being a practical man, being a person who's never let his height stop him from getting what he wants, Zacchaeus runs ahead. And he hops up into a tree. He climbs up into a tree so that he can see Jesus when he walks by. I want to read the story to you. It's Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." There are two characteristics that define Jesus' mission. The first characteristic is that Jesus' mission was a mission of love. Jesus' mission was a mission of love. As he's walking by the tree, Jesus looks up and says to Zacchaeus, "Hey, new plan for the day. I'm coming to your house. I'm sure you're a busy guy. I'm sure you've got a lot going on. But there's a new plan. I'm coming to your place." Now, this seems a little bit awkward to me. It seems like Jesus is inviting himself over to the rich guy's house. A little bit, you know, maybe take a dip in the pool, have a little drink with an umbrella in it. Maybe, you know, this evening we can sit out on the balcony and look at the river while the breeze, you know, blows through. And then after that, we can make some popcorn and you know, watch the Lego movie in your home entertainment theater super center, you know, kind of a thing. It seems a little awkward. I'm sure that Zacchaeus had a really nice crib, but that's not what this was about. In this culture, the home was the place where friends went to be together. They would eat together, they would talk together, they would spend time together. And what Jesus is telling Zacchaeus is that he wants to be his friend. He's extending a level of acceptance to Zacchaeus that no holy man would ever give to a tax collector. Think about the scene. I mean, if I don't know how you envision this, if you envision Zacchaeus, you know, how you see him, but imagine that, you know, he's managed to climb up into a tree and he's there. And in the crowd that day, there are sweet old ladies and there are well-behaved children and there are honest, hard-working people who just want to catch a glimpse of Jesus, who just want to be near him. And Jesus goes straight to the guy with the label. He goes straight to the misfit. He goes straight to the guy who nobody likes, who nobody trusts, who nobody respects. This is what love looks like. Jesus was on a mission of love. And the religious people in the crowd are completely offended because they think he's breaking a law. They look at Jesus and they say, "You're making yourself unclean by going to Z's pad, you know? You're breaking the law." But Jesus isn't trying to be offensive. What he's doing is he's modeling for them the point of all their religious laws. Earlier in the Gospels, Jesus says that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. He didn't come to hammer the law with a battering ram and destroy it. He actually came to fulfill it, to show what the law lived out looks like. And then he described what it looks like and he summarized it. He said, the law can be summarized in two statements. Love God with everything you have, your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And two, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm showing you what love looks like. I'm showing you the point of your laws. What I'm doing is defining for you what love looks like. This is the heart of God. He seeks people who've been labeled. He seeks people who've been written off. The label has absolutely no bearing on who he is willing to accept because he is love. No person is beyond the scope of the love of Jesus Christ. So if you've ever been labeled, if you've ever been written off, Jesus wants to be your friend. You're the kind of person that he looks for in the crowd. Maybe you've been greedy, and now you find yourself in a very lonely place. Maybe the way that you identify yourself sexually has caused people to shake their heads and to pull back and to repel themselves from you. Maybe you've been judged because of the way you look. Your jeans, they're not skinny enough. Your body's not skinny enough. The color of your skin isn't the right color. If you can relate to any of those things, I want you to imagine yourself sitting on that branch where Zacchaeus sat, Put yourself out there on that branch. And imagine Jesus looking up at you and calling you by name. Pete. Maddie. Anthony. He knows your name. And then he says something that's just staggering. Let's be friends. I want to put time in with you. You are not the one that's initiating this. You've done nothing to establish yourself as a person who's worth being friends with. It's all about him loving you, not the other way around. And he's saying this to you in front of other people. He's saying this to you in front of a crowd that's skeptical. He has absolutely no shame in being seen with you, even while onlookers shake their heads and roll their eyes. The reality that God would want to be friends with us is, this is just such an understatement, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's just hard to believe. Because the reality is that there's this lie that the disapproving crowd actually reinforces in our minds. And the lie is this: God couldn't possibly love me or accept me. That's the lie. That lie comes straight from the pit of hell. And yet it's a lie that's so easy to believe. And we think about the faces in the crowd and the people who know us, and we think to ourselves, you know, if Jesus gets too close, he's going to see stuff he doesn't like, and he's actually going to withhold his love from me. He's actually going to get too close, and he's going to be like, you know what, it's a nice house you live in, Zacchaeus, but really, I'm a little uncomfortable. That's how we think God sees us so often. He'll only be kind to me if I can measure up to him. It's a lie. And here's how we know it's a lie. We know it's a lie because if God only loved those who measured up to his standards, he couldn't love anyone. Because nobody actually measures up to his standards. So it's either a lie that God only loves me if I measure up, or God loves nobody because nobody measures up. Those are our choices. Zacchaeus didn't measure up. Yet he was loved. Jesus knew what he was getting into when he offered friendship to him. He knew his name. And he knows our names, and he knows our sins too. So let's see ourselves out on that branch. Let's see ourselves out where Zacchaeus sat. And let's look into the eyes, the kind eyes of Jesus, who loves us and calls us by name. But we also must see ourselves in the crowd. We also must see ourselves in those who disapproved of Jesus' actions, because we actually do what they did. Have you ever written somebody off? Have you ever looked at a person and labeled them based on their physical appearance? Have you ever given preferential treatment to somebody because they had something that you want? Maybe money, maybe sex. All that stuff is normal. Those are actually the normal social rules that we play by. That's how we're set up to operate. And what Jesus would have us to see is absolutely how calloused we are to think that on the one hand, our God is love, but on the other hand, we can look down on somebody who doesn't meet our standards. Then on one hand, we can say, man, God is love, he's accepting. And on the other hand, we would look down on somebody because they somehow don't measure up in our eyes, and that we're somehow better than they are. Jesus wants us to look at this story and go, do you see how calloused your hearts are if you're trying to live in both of those realities? Do you see that that's not who I am and how I operate? Jesus defines social rules differently than we do. Love is his rule. And when he offers it to Zacchaeus, when he gives it to this tax collector, he's thrilled. Zacchaeus is overjoyed. He's ecstatic. And when we read this story, it actually doesn't seem surprising to us that he has Jesus come over, right? It just seems very natural. The whole thing just flows together. There's no real sense of timing in the story. Things just happen really fast. And there's an assumption, I think, that we make when we read the story that it was just an easy decision for Zacchaeus. Jesus says, "Hey, come down. I want to hang out at your house today." And Zacchaeus is like, "Of course, I'm delighted. Yes, let's do this." We look at Zacchaeus. We think, man, he's a loner. He needs some friends. Why wouldn't he have Jesus into his home? I think the reason why he wouldn't have Jesus into his home is because he had a lot of money. And if Zacchaeus is going to grasp the hand of Jesus, he's actually going to have to relinquish his grasp on his money. Because when we invite Jesus close and we begin to embrace him, it automatically means that we're going to have to unembrace something else. And for Zacchaeus, there's a lot of money that's involved that he's going to have to unembrace. Our hearts fall in love with money so easily. Money provides a sense of security. It can buy us pleasure. It gives us certain power. And our hearts fall in love with these things because we're actually wired to need those things. Security, pleasure, power. Those are needs that God has put into us. They're not bad things, but security, pleasure, and power are things that God intends to give us in himself. And it's such a tough transition for a person with wealth to transfer from trusting money to trusting God. It's like trying to squeeze a camel through the eye of a needle. But Jesus knows how to get camels through the eye of a needle. He's that good. The story doesn't tell us how this happened. The story doesn't tell us when it happened. But somehow along the line, somehow in this interaction between Jesus and Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus fully welcomes Jesus, not just into his home, but into his heart. He lets go of his money and he takes hold of Jesus, and Jesus declares him saved. Salvation has come to this house today. And that brings us to the second characteristic of Jesus' mission. It's a mission of authority. First, it's a mission of love. And second, it's a mission of authority. Jesus declares that Zacchaeus is saved. He's basically saying this guy is in, he's part of the family. And this is something that normal people don't have the authority to say. I just want to point that out. You and I cannot make that call. If we do, people will write us off and see us as a cult leader, a lunatic, whatever. But Jesus makes this call. Let me just take it out of this first century and bring it to today. Let's say you're at work and a friend tells you, "Hey, there's a new company policy. New company policy is that you get to take lunch for as long as you want and it's paid." And you're like, "Wow, did you hear this, you know, from our boss?" And she's like, no, I just thought it sounded like a good idea." "It does sound like a good idea." She's like, "No, look, it's the new company policy, okay? It's this is where we're headed. Long paid lunches, it's my call." You've got to be the boss to make a call like that, right? And what Jesus is saying here is, I'm the boss. I have authority to back up my claim. It looks like he's breaking the rules again. So he already broke the rules once when he went to be in the home of Zacchaeus. But now it looks like he's breaking the rules again. Because the rules were this, if you were a first century Jew. If you want to be saved, you go to the temple, and then you offer a sacrifice, and then the priest declares that your sins are forgiven and that you're right with God. And through that process, God saves you. But Jesus gives Zacchaeus salvation right on the spot. He's saying, no, it's not about that process anymore. It's about my process. It's no longer about particular rituals. It's about me. Jesus is claiming an authority. His mission is one that puts him at the center. You can't really claim a higher spiritual authority than Jesus is claiming here. The temple, the sacrifices, none of those religious rituals are necessary any longer. If you want to be saved, just come to me, says Jesus, because that's what I do. It's a massive claim. Jesus is making it as the one who doesn't just seek the lost, but who saves them as well. So what does this mean for us? We actually don't become right with God through particular practices. We are made right with God through a particular person, Jesus Christ. We come to him by faith, accepting the reality that he accepts us, just the way he did for Zacchaeus. We don't have to hide our sin. We don't have to cover our flaws. We don't have to fake it. He comes to us in our lost condition, and he saves us to be in relationship with himself. And one of the evidences that Jesus has the authority to save us is the change that he begins to work in our hearts. Knowing Jesus, we actually start to become different people. A real process of transformation begins. And for Zacchaeus, it was generosity. Generosity. He's willing to give half of what he makes to the poor. If that's not a person who's saying, I'm no longer trusting my money, I'm trusting God, I don't know what is. He's willing to pay back anyone that he's stolen from 4 times the amount as proof of his transformation. By the way, the Hebrew law didn't require you to pay back 4 times the amount. It required you to pay back 1/5 the amount if you've accidentally stolen from somebody. Zacchaeus is going above and beyond the law, above and beyond the rules, because his heart has changed. And that change is one of the evidences that Jesus actually has the authority to save us. It's the change that he works in our hearts that point to his authority. Knowing Jesus, we become different people. And for Zacchaeus, that generosity was evidence. It was proof of a real transformation that had begun. Jesus has done the impossible here. He's squeezed a camel through the eye of a needle. He's brought this rich man from this place of being a misfit, an outcast, lost, into the family of God. And he's done it by his own initiative. He's done it by his own love. And he's done it by his own authority. This is his mission. He seeks the lost in love. And he saves them by his own authority. Two thoughts as we wrap up. First of all, there's great hope here. There's great hope here. And the hope is this. We don't have to fake it anymore. I believe one of the reasons why we struggle with sin, and we see marriages struggling, and we can't quite get over the hump with our addictions. I believe one of the reasons, and not the only reason, but one of the reasons is because we're so good at hiding that crap. We're so good at faking it and white knuckling it and putting on a good show. And what the story of Zacchaeus shows us is that Jesus already knows all that stuff. We don't have to pretend. He knows your name. He knows your junk. Don't fake it with God, and please don't buy into the lie that God will only accept you if you measure up to him. We can just be real. We can be honest. Authentic community. That's actually in our mission statement as a church. To follow Jesus in authentic community. No more masks, no more games. And the second thing that I want to leave you with is actually a challenge. Because the reality is that taking hold of Jesus requires letting go of other things. Your money could be one of those things. Certainly we see that in the story of Zacchaeus. But taking hold of Jesus means taking hold of his lordship and his authority and all that he says he is. Which means he gets to call the shots now in our lives, and that's tough. At the beginning we prayed, your kingdom come and your will be done, and that's frightening. Because that means he gets to decide on how we conduct ourselves sexually. That means he gets to decide on how we deal with our emotions. That means he gets to decide on our social life. It's all his stuff now. And today he's calling some of us in this room to surrender certain things, to relinquish our grasp on certain things, so that we can grasp a hold of Christ the way that Zacchaeus did. If you follow him, you just need to know he'll always do that. He'll always ask you to let go and to hold on, to let go and to hold on to him. It's scary, but it's sweet, because knowing and being submitted to him is ultimately the most satisfying place for us to be. So I want to have our band come up. We're going to continue to worship. And if you would, we're going to prepare ourselves for this table, for communion. And I'm just going to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes as we prepare ourselves. Lord, we are a community of broken individuals who need you, Jesus, the same exact way that Zacchaeus needed you. Not one of us in this room can claim any superiority over somebody else. Not one of us can claim we're better. Not one of us can claim that we don't have a need. We all need you. And Christ, you paid the ultimate price so that we could be in relationship with God. So that the Zacchaeus story of that experience of actually interfacing with Jesus could actually be our experience as well, that we can know God now through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You laid your life down for us, Lord. You died on a cross. You spilled your blood so that our sins might be forgiven, so that the price could be paid. And in return, you exchange, you give to us full acceptance, full membership in the family. You love us. You're on mission, pursuing us, seeking us. And then you have the authority to save us, and you've done it. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we come to you again, letting go of the things that are making it really hard for us to grab a hold of you. And we thank you for the mercy and forgiveness that we find. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. We broadcast every Sunday from the Hollywood District in Portland, Oregon. If you'd like more information about who we are as a community, there's two addresses you should visit. The first is at www.mosaicportland.org, or you can come visit us in person on a Sunday at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.